I came across an old worship song from 1989, and it would be Noel Richards, and they wrote this song called "Our Confidence Is in the Lord." And that wee song goes like this: "Our confidence is in the Lord, the source of our salvation. Rest is found in Him alone, the author of creation. We will not fear the evil day, because in the Lord we have refuge. In every circumstance we see our hope is built on Jesus." That starts off at the beginning by saying this: our confidence is in the Lord. And what I want to ask you this morning is this: what is your confidence in? Who is your confidence in? Do you have self-confidence in your own abilities? Or do you have confidence in your God-given abilities, talents, whatever they might be? What is your confidence in? And so our series over the next few weeks is going to be "Our Confidence Is In." If you look at the world, you read any of the people who talk about leadership that are non-Christians, if you look at anybody like that who's in the business world, you watch a lot of the TED Talks, things like that, what they're going to tell you is that you need to have self-confidence. What I want to tell you over this morning and the next 3 weeks is you don't need to have confidence in yourself. That's not true. That's a lie. That you need to have confidence in Jesus. Because the thing is this, is that no matter what your circumstances were in the past, it wasn't you who reached out to Jesus. It was Him that reached out to you. No matter what your circumstances were, no matter what your background was, He reached out to you because He loved you before you even knew about Him. And so before we move on, let's pray. Father, we pray and ask for Your blessing. We ask that You would impact our lives even more than what You have, more than what we realize. And Father, we ask one simple thing through this, that we would recognize that our confidence is in You. Make our confidence in You and in nothing and no one else. And we ask this in Your holy and precious name. Let me ask you this: how many of us sitting in this room today feel that we need to have more confidence in our lives? I need to tell you something that might surprise you. No, you don't. Because Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You don't need more confidence. You just need to realize the confidence that you already have. How many of you here have got a mobile phone? Put your hand up if you've got a mobile phone. Right, so everybody in the room's got a mobile phone, with the exception of the kids. You wouldn't expect them to have one. But how many of you are using it right now? Most people aren't using theirs right now. A lot of people use it for most. And just because you have it doesn't necessarily mean you're using it. Because usually, I mean, in this modern age, because a lot of people read their Bible on their phone, or on their iPad or whatever, but on their phone. Some people take notes on their phone. But just because you're not using it right now doesn't mean you don't have it. And just because you're not using the confidence that God gave you doesn't mean you don't have it. The world tells us that we need more self-confidence. But God tells us that the most dangerous thing we can do is to be confident in ourselves. We are to be confident in Him. We are to be confident in Jesus. Yeah, we want confidence, and we want confidence that we can do what we need to do, but we don't want to refer to that as self-confidence, because the only confidence that we have is upon who we are in Christ. What it should be. Sometimes More often than not, experience gives us confidence. How many times that you've done something, for example, but there's something else that gives root to your confidence. And it's Jesus. And it's our relationship with Jesus. And it's important that we root our confidence in our relationship with Him. Without Him, we're nothing. In Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence." Paul said he could put confidence in his flesh, but he didn't. He put his confidence in Christ. What do you put your confidence in? Chicken soup for the soul isn't going to give you the confidence that you need. I don't know if there's a book called Confidence for Dummies. I don't want to read it. I want my confidence in Jesus. That's where I want mine to come from. Our confidence shouldn't come from anything else, but from God. Every single one of us feels good about looking good. But that is that what your confidence depends on? How you look? And so something happens that temporarily alters how you look. Does that mean you lose all your confidence? Do you put your confidence in money, on looks, who you spend time with, what you wear? Confidence is a belief that you can do a thing, but not apart from God. Let Him give you the confidence that you need. Joyce Meyer said a great thing. Joyce Meyer's funny. She's really good, but she's funny as well. And she says, "A believer with no confidence is like a jet with no fuel sitting on the runway. All that equipment and no power to get up above the circumstance." That's good. None of us wants to be that jet plane. None of us wants to be in that place where we don't have confidence that can't lift us above the circumstance that we need to go through. If you want to know where someone's confidence lies, all you have to do is listen to them for a while. Listen to them for a while. Because someone who's self-confident cannot keep their mouth shut about themselves. If you know somebody who's self-confident, let them rattle on for 5 minutes and you're going to find where their confidence lies, and it's in them. They'll talk about them because they just can't stop it. They cannot say a sentence with "I, me and mine" in it. We'd rather have someone who is much less naturally talented but really depends on God working for us. That's what we would rather have than someone who is super smart and full of themselves. I'm no mocking intelligence and how smart people are, but I want people to put their dependence on Christ rather than on themselves and their own abilities. And I'm going to share an example of this. When you think about it like this, this might surprise you. Think of it this way. Lucifer had everything. Ezekiel 28 verses 12 to 17 says this: "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite and emerald, topaz, onyx and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. That's Lucifer. The most beautiful thing ever created. It tells us there twice, perfect in beauty. And then there's another instance in there where it tells us that on account of your beauty, your heart became proud. And that's Lucifer. For him, all that wasn't enough. He became proud, and like those of self-importance and self-confidence, he turned from God. His confidence came to be in himself. And like the self-confident who can't go through so many minutes without a sentence saying, I, me and mine in it, then like the self-confident, look at what he said. In Isaiah 14, all your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, and hear this, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned in the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought into the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. It all became about him. And his confidence was not any longer in the Lord. The God who created him to be a guardian cherub. And through scripture you see that there are three guardian cherubs. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. They are the ones that are named. They are the ones that we know about. There might be other ones, but we don't know who they are. But what I want to tell you this, Lucifer became proud because of his beauty. He built up an arrogance. He became self-confident. He was no longer confident in the God who created him. He was the angel who was in charge of worship in heaven. He had a privileged position. He led all of the other host in worship in front of the Lord. He had it all, but for him, it wasn't enough. He wanted more. But here's what I need to tell you. The devil is powerful. However, he's no as powerful as God. And the scriptures tells us that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. And because you have the Lord living in you, therefore the power living in you is more powerful than him. And what I need to tell you is this. The devil cannot take your calling. God has placed a call in your life. He placed a dream in your heart. And the devil, Lucifer, as beautiful as he is, because I don't think he became ugly because he fell, but as beautiful as he is or was, depending on what you think, as powerful as he was, as privileged a position that he had, and as powerful as he might be, he cannot take your calling. And so because he cannot take your calling, he takes your confidence. And if he can get you to give him your confidence, he can keep you from functioning in your calling. And I would love to say I came up with that myself, but I really didn't. And Stephen Furtick said that. You can have a great calling, and no confidence. And he goes on to say that Christians without confidence should be an oxymoron. It should be a deliberate contradiction. So I was speaking to somebody this week who's talking about buying a new Mini. And they're talking about buying a Mini Countryman. And if you've seen a Mini Countryman, it's not that mini. It's quite big. And so therefore you could call it a big Mini, which is a contradiction. It's an oxymoron. It's like when you go into a fish restaurant and you ask for giant shrimp. It's an oxymoron. It contradicts itself. And so therefore, a Christian without confidence should be an oxymoron. It should be a contradiction. Because our confidence is in the Lord. And the Lord is with us. He's never left us. Sometimes we turn from him, but he never ever turns from us. He never ever takes that deposit that was placed in us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. He never empties that and takes that away. That's still there. Because he loves us. So if you have a Bible, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 10? And we're going to look at verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says this: "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." And you're sitting here thinking, "Oh, wait a minute, John, I don't have any confidence." And I need to tell you that you do. Because your confidence is in the Lord, and you should have that confidence because he gave you that confidence when you accepted him as your Lord and Saviour. Our confidence is in the Lord, not in anything else. But let's read the whole passage for a bit, and we'll pick it up at verse 32. "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but my righteous one shall live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." You surrendered your life to Jesus at some point in the past. And remember the days after you had received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Did you ever endure conflict, trial, suffering, persecution? Did people ever publicly expose you and insult you and persecute you? And other people stood side by side with you? Maybe they didn't and they left because they couldn't cope with being treated like that. Sometimes that's what happened. I'm going to share something really personal. Yeah, I remember I had surrendered my life to Jesus. A lot of people in our community did, as you know. And we used to kind of have some opposition with this gang from a housing estate up the road from us. And they were called the Bushwhackers. And one day, I was sat on the bus coming back from the city centre, and like at least 15 plus of the Bushwhackers all came on the bus upstairs. And I was like, oh. And there was still about 12 bus stops left to go on for. This is not looking good. And at the very least, the kind of things that they had done in the past is they stopped you getting off the bus and made you wait until the bus got to the terminus, which the terminus was right in the heart of where they came from. And then they put you off the bus and you had to try and get from there back to where you live, and it would be like running a gauntlet. And so I was terrified. I'd be absolutely honest. I had no confidence in anything, anyone at all, and I was terrified. And so they did something that is right out of some film that you would watch that was made in Hollywood. It was like Fame or something like that. And so I'm sitting on the bus. And a lot of these boys used to be breakdancers and stuff like that. And then they all stand up on the bus in front of me. And I'm like, I'm ready to get out here. And then they started singing and dancing on the bus. And I was like, what is going on? This is weird. And they started singing the MC Hammer song. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray just to make it today. But they were doing this to wind me up. All of them. Dancing on the aisle of a bus. It was weird. But the effect that it had on me was there for everybody to see. And I was just like... And by this stage, it went on for a while. We were coming towards the bus stop. I was to get off. And they didn't stop me getting off. Terrified. And they let me off, and I thought, oh, got away quite scot-free there. And then it was a few weeks later. One of the really well-known people in their area heard about this, and they were not impressed. And they came up to me and they approached me. And they always, for some reason, liked me. And they came up and they were like, I owe you an apology. You don't owe me an apology. She says, no, I do. She says, cause, and he referred to them as in some derogatory way. She says, but all of them, I heard what they did to you on the bus the other week. He says, and I want to apologise to you. He says, I am so sorry. And it was only then that I realised his sister was a woman who came to our church. And he knew about Jesus. And he turned around and he was... Very well known at that time in a political group called Militant, who became the Scottish Socialist Party. And he said to me, he said, John, you need to know this, that if I wasn't into what I'm into, I'd be into what you're into. He says, and I am so sorry that what happened to you. He says, and I apologise. He said, but not only that, he says, I'm going to have them come and apologise to you. And within weeks, they came. And they said sorry. And I thought, I felt humiliated on the bus because the top deck of the bus was full. And these boys start dancing and singing and making fun of me on the bus. But that's nothing compared to what the people at the New Testament times were experiencing. They were getting killed. I've had people shout, Bible basher, Jesus freak. You know, I've had people looking at the windows, as you know, hanging out shouting, who's that? Ah, sorry, it's just that boy Shades again. And when we stood at the bottom of the closest singing worship songs. And we were talking about singing things like, shine, Jesus, shine. Do you know, and so when I think back on that, it kind of makes me a bit embarrassed. But people would cast scorn upon us all the time. They would persecute us. No, in a way that people in the New Testament were persecuted. Did that impact my confidence at the time? No. Because I knew where I had come from, and I knew where I was. And I wasn't just looking at, I know what Jesus saved me from, but I knew what he saved me for. And that was where my confidence lay. And it did not bother me a jot in the fullness of time. And there were other things that happened along that journey, and I just kept going on. And I never threw away my confidence. And it says in verse 39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. And at that time, I never shrunk back. I didn't let that impact me. But you know, sometimes when you get older, or sometimes when you start to relax things a wee bit, maybe you start at points because of circumstances, you start to become a wee bit less resilient. maybe so less tough on the outside. Less able to deal with the things that life throws at you. But what I need you to know is this, and that happens to us. That has happened to us. But what is your confidence in? Is your confidence in yourself? Look at what that did for Lucifer. Not a lot. Nothing good. And the confidence that you have should be in the Lord. Our confidence is in the Lord. It's a great wee song. The source of our salvation. Rest is found in Him alone, the author of creation. We will not fear the evil day, because in the Lord we have refuge. In every circumstance we say, our hope is built on Jesus. And when it says that He is our refuge, we were at Encounter More over the weekend, and Cathy Adams was speaking yesterday, and she's saying that it's the verse from Nehemiah, where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I thought, yes, but so much more than that. The joy of the Lord isn't just your strength. The joy of the Lord is your fortress. The joy of the Lord is your citadel. The joy of the Lord is your strong tower. And if you need confidence, rejoice. Have joy, because in that joy, in that place, is where you will find your strength, because the joy of the Lord is your strong place. And you can have joy. You're thinking, ah, oh, John, I don't have a whole lot to be joyful about right now. I didn't ask you that. But if you rejoice, you will have joy. But it says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, I say again, rejoice. But we're talking about confidence. Your confidence is in the Lord. Put your trust, put your hope in Him. And so let me ask you this. Are you feeling confident right now? Be honest. Are you feeling confident? In what or who does your confidence rest? So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at a series called Our Confidence Is In, and we'll unpack this passage from Hebrews and its implications for us in everyday life. But just before we finish, I want to tell you, I looked up confidence and what it really means. And I'm just looking at it in the context of what the writer of Hebrews put it in, and when he said confidence. And there's a few different ways, according to different lexicons, that you can describe it. It's an attitude of openness that stems from freedom and lack of fear. You have freedom. In speech, boldness, plainness, outspokenness, in public work, openness. In the presence of high-ranking persons, courage, confidence, boldness. In relation to God, confidence, boldness, and a joyful sense of freedom. And then I found this diamond, and it says, focus on the component of assurance in a relationship that presupposes communication, openness, boldness, and confidence. Who brings the assurance in our life? Jesus. And so therefore, our confidence and our boldness should be in Him. Do you want to stand?